So concerned about every other abandoned building in the city that may spontaneously catch fire. I think it's pretty obvious to most of us that it's for political reasons that they'd be guarding them. But just the fact of them guarding it, I think, is a statement in itself. The fact of having guards outside an empty building simply to prevent people from living in it is a very strong statement about the divide between the rich and the poor in this city, and in fact in this province. If you look at, contrast a community like Rosedale with the type of neighborhood you have at Queen and Sherbourne, and the effect poverty has on people. I mean, something I hear a lot in Parkdale is complaints about crime and complaints about fellow residents and their behavior. And a lot of these complaints come from sort of more influential people of the right-wing nature who compare Parkdale to communities like Rosedale and say, well, this doesn't exist there. This, you know, what they call crime doesn't exist to such great extent. But I'd like to know, I'd like to ask people in Rosedale or in Forest Hill what they would do if they had to experience the type of poverty and misery that people here see every day. What they would do if their friends were deported, what they would do if their children became wards of the state, what they would do if they were disabled and couldn't work anymore. I think they would resort to the same type of activities that we see here all the time. I think the question of crime can be very easily explained by gentrification. I remember recently talking to a few people in the East End who live on the streets and are talking about how the only type of work they can get, the only paying work they can get at all, is day labor building condominiums. And I think this is a very real example of gentrification and the way the poor are being used to push themselves out of their own neighborhood. When you have that kind of stress, and when people are forced to live that kind of life, there's housing becomes more and more expensive, and there's less housing in the city, and people are pushed further away. But if you're poor, the only place you can really make money is the city. So people are crowded together into smaller and smaller apartments. And with that crowding comes stress. And with that stress comes people resorting to drugs and people being roped in by addiction and crime and violence. And the stress just becomes greater and greater. And so when people talk about feeling threatened by this violence, that is with good reason, but I think we should all remember that the answer to it is not more cops and more security, but social programs to help people with things like addiction. And I think if the province and the city had initially spent money on social programs in the downtown core, we wouldn't have a lot of the... If they had initially implemented programs that treat people with dignity and compassion, we wouldn't have the current response of violence and hostility. Sort of on the same topic, I think a lot of people on the streets forget the concept of solidarity, the concept of cooperating and fighting back together. Too many times in this neighborhood, I've heard people complain about the kid down the street who owes them $20 or, you know, this guy who ripped them off or whatever. And they actually think that's, you know, their biggest problem or that's the only thing that they can see themselves dealing with. And I think we could all do better to look at sort of the larger picture and how gentrification and poverty affects all of us. And my own feeling about Parkdale is that people should remember that we are to cooperate and fight against these things rather than just getting caught up in day-to-day problems, because the the kid down the street who owes you $20 hasn't paid it back, probably because he doesn't have it or because he has very little. But the cop on the corner, on the other hand, and as we've seen with their mobilization today, are acting of political and ideological persuasions. They are acting for on behalf of the province and on behalf of the ideology of capitalism, essentially. I mean, that's, there can be no other explanation for things like this guarding an empty building. And in comparison, a lot of people have pointed out that that guards have been at this building since November 1st. But in comparison to other areas of the city, two guards or four guards at this building really aren't causing that much trouble. There was a meeting a few days ago at the Atkinson Co-op, that's cooperative at Dundas and Bathurst, that is social housing and is one of the few social housing complexes that has, where the residents have won the right to live in a cooperative. And yet still, after winning that, they are subjected to one of the most brutal security companies in Toronto, IntelliGuard, harassing them day after day. There was a meeting a couple of days ago, some people might have seen a story in the Toronto Star, where a 12-year-old boy talked about being harassed for sitting on his friend's doorstep and being told that he was loitering. And then when he and his friends went out to play basketball, being told that they can't make any noise. I mean, kids playing during the day, they're playing basketball. And he asked a very simple question, how do you play without making noise? I mean, it's logic, right? Kids have to play, people have to live their lives. And this harassment and this intimidation cannot continue. Something else I've encountered in talking to people around Parkdale and around this city is sort of an attitude that the government is this detached, looming force that is far above them, that they can do nothing to affect. So if security guards are being paid to guard the Pope Squad or to quote-unquote guard Atkinson, basically to harass people, people are saying, you know, the government is paying them. Well, it really sucks that the government is paying them, but, you know, that's the government for you. We can't do much about it. But I think if people saw it as affecting them more directly, then the attitude might be different. With the amount of tax breaks that have recently been given to big business, to rich individuals, to rich Tories specifically, I think it should be very obvious that it isn't the government or the people who make up the government or the people who make the decisions in this province that are paying for us to be harassed and for us to be intimidated. It's us. It's the working people. It's us. Our paycheck, our, like, when we buy food, when we buy anything, that money goes to pay the cops and security guards to harass us. It's not the rich at all. It's not the businesses, not the people who run the government that are ultimately responsible for that. I think it was a few days ago that the Tories just handed out another tax break to rich individuals and business owners. And the dollar amount of it actually equals the amount that 17 families would receive on social assistance. So that for each person that gets that tax break, 17 people are kicked off social assistance, essentially. And that's the way their priorities are. Still, there's a question of course, how do these people get into government? Obviously, they're elected. But beyond that, we can take the example of the MPP in this area. Gerard Kennedy, for Parkdale High Park, was elected Basically, because he was the director of the Daily Bread Food Bank, and he continually exploited the media coverage around that. And the fact that he was, you know, this great, compassionate guy was really what got him in office. And then, of course, he proceeded to backstab people and go back on, like, every promise he had made. But through being a director of the food bank, I mean, that's how he got there. And yes, Gerard Kennedy is a liberal, but we should be talking about liberals as much as we should be talking about Tories. Because, for example, the liberal government under Peterson put in motion in the late 80s, early 90s, the program that the Tories have followed since 1995. The regressive policies do not originate with Mike Harris. They originated long before with, in fact, a liberal government. And some people, most people probably know that OCAP's current campaign is to dog the Tories on the election trail. And as much fun as that is, I think we can't forget the liberals and the fact that we are equally disgusted by their actions and with the corporate and business elite that make up their funding base. So, an election should be coming up fairly soon, and it's anticipated that the new government will be liberal. So, our message to them is that they have a deadline of 4 weeks to turn this building into social housing, and if they allow that time to pass by, and 1510 King Street West to remain vacant, OCAP will retake the Pope squat, and all the anger and hatred we have unleashed on the Tories will be not replicated, but surpassed by the reaction we will have to the new Liberal government. Dalton McGuinty and Gerard Kennedy should know that hypocrisy and doublespeak are an unsatisfactory alternative to the brutal regressive policies this province has suffered under for the last 8 years. We will not take it anymore. Thanks, Lisa.